Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
The news this week has been filled with images and information about even more deadly attacks and innocent people being harmed in Europe and places like London and Paris, while major attacks are also being perpetrated throughout the Middle East, all in the name of Allah on this month that is supposed to be a holy celebration of Ramadan for the Muslim people. Last week, our guest, Leo Homan, warned us that this was likely to happen, and it has been alarming to watch these terror scenes unfold. But maybe even more alarming is what we heard earlier this week from former FBI agent John Guandolo, the man who literally wrote the textbook on this for the FBI. On Monday, he explained to our listeners here on Stand in the Gap Today that radical jihadists are already infiltrating in a strategic way into our country, and that essentially they've taken over some entire communities in different parts of America, much like they have in Europe. For many, this is distressing or causes us to fear. But as Christians, we have been told that we don't have to live in a spirit of fear, but rather, as we live in Christ, we have what Paul tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 1 is power, love, and a sound mind. Hello, I'm Isaac Crockett, and I'm joined today by Sam Rohr, the president of American Pastors Network. And a little later on, we will also be speaking with a special guest. Our guest today will be Phil Cohn, who is passionate about getting the gospel of Christ out to all peoples of this world with his international evangelistic organization, which is actually called Christ for All Peoples. Sam, as we think about the responses that come after terror attacks like this, we've seen so many in the recent days, and we expect that there will be more. I think that it is important that we realize the different roles that God has for different ones of us, for those, for example, in our civil authorities or our government, as well as the role of those in our church authority, our pastors, American Pastors Network, we deal with that, but as well as our families and our individual Christians, how we should respond in the days in which we live. For example, the role that I have as a pastor and a citizen here in Pennsylvania is different than the role that you were given, Sam, while you were a legislator writing our laws in Pennsylvania for almost two decades. So could you maybe distinguish for us the difference between these different roles that God has given?
Isaac, I'd be glad to do that. And I think you raise a very, very good, I guess, a point of delineation here. It's very little understood. As I travel the world, I talk to pastors, I talk to those in civil government, parents. I find one of the greatest lack of instruction, I think, is in the area of what I would call jurisdiction. Now, that's a jurisdiction's kind of a legal term, but really what it means is areas of responsibility. And I'll go here with it just to answer your first question as simply as I can. When God laid out the framework for society, for the world, after creation, he created mankind, he laid out a plan for how society would best function. God established certain key authority structures. One starts right with the individual. Every individual has an obligation. No one can answer for you but you, Isaac. I answer for myself. Every person answers by themselves. That is one. That's called a citizen. That's called an individual, whatever that be. Then God established the family. Father, mother, children. The family is the bedrock of society, which strong families, strong nations, weak families, weak nations. I think that's understood by most. Then God established the structure of civil government, that which operates out there to keep order in society. Romans 13 talks about that. Then God established church government, meaning there's a structure within the church that is to govern itself. And each of these jurisdictions, Isaac, work in a complementary fashion. That's not understood. That simple thought is not understood by most. What I mean by that is this. The individual has certain responsibilities for which the family can't answer for the individual. Individual doesn't answer for the family, not for the government, not for the church, any. Civil government has its areas of responsibility, which is to keep the peace, enact justice, promote those that are doing well, punish those who do evil. The church has the responsibility of equipping people to be saints, carrying out the gospel, witnessing to those who don't yet know Christ. Families have a responsibility to have children, raise them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord, teach them their duties in society. When these work together, Isaac, there is no conflict. But when government attempts to do the role of the church or do the role of the family, there is conflict. And it's in some of this area relative to this matter of terrorism, where the government is actually trying to do the church's role, or the church is trying to do the government's role. This is where a lot of the conflict occurs.
So as we look at these distinct roles, maybe I know in a little bit we'll have our guest Phil Cohn talking about what we as individual Christians and families can do to respond. But maybe you could just briefly give us, Sam, some biblical and constitutional background or ideas on what our president or governmental leaders could do in response to these attacks, as well as maybe some help for pastors as to the stance that we should be taking in our pulpits.
Well, absolutely. And Isaac, it should be, again, along the lines of jurisdiction. What is the role? All of those in office, the president, Congress, Senate, law enforcement, state level, local level, they have a duty constitutionally to protect the people. The president took his oath of office that way, to carry out the laws and to protect against enemies, domestic and foreign. As an example, government, biblically, responsibility, protect those who do well. I mean, protect the citizens of these United States against those who would harm them. That's why we don't let murderers walk free and that kind of a thing. Those who come in as terrorists to destroy America, undermine it, fall into the enemy of a category of an enemy. The president has a responsibility to protect the law-abiding citizen against that. So on one hand, the government has a responsibility to watch out for those who would come in as immigrants, to be concerned about those who come with the purpose of harming our nation, not becoming a part of it. Now the church has an obligation to carry out the gospel, to witness. So does the family, and so does the individual. If we have a person next door who does not know Jesus Christ and may be involved in a very wicked, unbiblical lifestyle, what is the responsibility of the church or a family or an individual? Well, Isaac, it is to share the gospel, to share the good news of Jesus Christ with all of those who are still wrapped up and in bondage to sin, having not experienced the freedom that comes with trusting in Jesus Christ as Savior. Now, that's the role of every individual and the church and a family. But the church, nor the family, nor an individual can or ever should tell government, don't do the job of keeping us safe that God has given the government. So that's the balance. That's the balance that needs to be very much kept in place, that right now is very little taught from the pulpits, and it needs to be a matter of discussion publicly, because that's how God looks at things.
All right, so there we have it. Those are the roles and the differences that God has given. And as we look at this, we'll be focusing now on how we can respond as individuals, especially towards the increasing number of Muslims who might be our coworkers, they might be neighbors, they might even be your family members. And so when we come back, we'll be speaking with Phil Cohn and looking at what we can do to bring Christ to all peoples and looking at this ministry opportunity.
Americans are a freedom-loving people. Wouldn't it be great if you could carry a copy of the essential documents that outline our freedoms written by our nation's founders in your pocket so you can refer to it every day? Well, now you can. Stand in the Gap Radio has found something you're sure to like, the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide. The handy guide is a slim 6.5 by 3.5 inches, yet it includes the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, the preamble to the Bill of Rights, and other influential documents, including, in the words of our founders, topical quotes from America's founders, plus a listing of online resources for further research by the serious-minded or the just plain curious. To see and request your copy of the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide and make your tax-deductible gift of any amount, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Let us hear from you today. Thank you, and God bless you.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence
balance of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit BJUPress.com. That's BJUPress.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Individual Christians to not only love our enemies, but to declare the love of Jesus to the world can be difficult for us when we think about responding to somebody that we know or someone we meet who is a Muslim. In fact, sometimes I think there are Christians who think that Muslims cannot come to Christ or will not come to Christ. But today we have joining with us Phil Cohn with Christ for All People's Ministry. And he is one who has ministered to Muslims across the world. And so, Phil, as we know, the Muslim population, it is increasing across the world and in the United States. If we are actively sharing our faith with those we come across, we must be prepared to share with Muslims as well as other folks. How can we as Christians, as individuals, our role of sharing the gospel, how can we show a Muslim that we care about him or her, even if we don't have the same spiritual beliefs?
Well, that's a great question, Isaac. I appreciate that. And do you mind if I pray? I'd just like to lift up our listeners and ask the Lord of the harvest. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you as the Lord of the harvest to raise up laborers into the harvest. This is what Jesus asked, that his disciples and his followers would lift their eyes to see the people in Samaria who weren't even liked. As a matter of fact, they were despised, and they typically would go around them. But we just ask, Lord, help us to see the harvest, lift our eyes to this white harvest, this ripe and ready harvest right in front of us, in Jesus' name. It's true. There's a tremendous increase in the number of international immigrants in America, including Muslims. And we, I think, to be prepared, we need to change our thinking. As you opened this time right now, that people think that Muslims won't come to Christ, but really there's something happening. God is doing something that's unprecedented in our day. And millions of Muslims, tens of millions of Muslims are turning to Christ all over the world. And this is not just me saying this. This is lots and lots of ministries. Lots of people are hearing this and seeing this. And it's even Muslim experts have proclaimed this. This can be found on the internet. Muslim experts that have said this is happening all over. And they're kind of fearful that they're losing so many so quickly. And so this is good news, and I think it helps to understand a little bit about who you should be and who you are in Christ and who they are so that you can witness to them. And as you opened the beginning of the program, you quoted the passage that says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so we need to see ourselves in an Acts 1:8, as Acts 1:8 Christians. In Acts 1:8, Jesus says, you will receive power to be my witnesses here in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. And so we have to think of ourselves this way. This will help us. And then we need to be recognizing that God is bringing these people to us so that we can share Jesus Christ with them.
Phil, let me ask you a question here. Again, we're doing this program in the context of focusing on really refugees, specifically Muslims, because that's such an issue in this country. And we are concerned as American Pastors Network that whereas we raise the voice of concern about the ideology of Islam and the Quran and the teachings of Muhammad and all of that, that within that context of raising that awareness, that the love for the individual, and what we talked about the program early, at the beginning, the church and the family and the individual is not overshadowed by that concern. And we keep our heart open and we look for the opportunity to talk with and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with Muslims. Now, we probably don't have too long a time to get into this in real depth, but if someone is listening right now, perhaps they have a Muslim neighbor, how do they even open up the conversation about Jesus Christ? How would you suggest? Is there a question or a thought process that would be most workable or usable for a Christian to witness his faith in Jesus Christ to a Muslim?
Well, you know, it's a great question, Sam, and there's a lot to think about in that, because it does help to understand a lot of the most Muslims' background and their instruction. Most Muslims have a lot of simple instruction, but it's often apologetics to prepare themselves against Christians. But actually, also, most Muslims have never read the Quran in Arabic, or if they did, they didn't understand it, because most Muslims don't speak Arabic. And so there is some simple apologetics that they've learned. And so if you were to approach a Muslim and say, I want to tell you about Jesus, they might say, well, we already believe in Jesus. As a matter of fact, we probably honor him more than you do. And all of a sudden, you realize you've kind of stepped into something that may get you, instead of being easy, it may be difficult. And so I would recommend that you begin to learn about Islam and what it teaches. Most people don't want to, and I understand that. So what I recommend is that people just be overtly Christian and overtly loving. And that way, if they're just loving people as a kind person, then that demonstrates in front of them what your background is, what you believe, and how God is moving in your life. Then I recommend that, because most Muslims in America are immigrants that speak a foreign language at home, and I recommend they get some of these tools, like the Jesus film. The Jesus film is in over 1,500 languages, and it's been used around the world. Millions of Muslims have come to Christ watching the Jesus film in their own homes and countries and in their own languages. And as millions have come here and they speak Arabic, Farsi, Turkish, Kurdish, Urdu, Somali, all kinds of Muslim background languages, the Jesus film is an excellent tool, because it's the gospel presented by Jesus himself. And it's all scripture. It's all scripture. So they're hearing the Word of God, which has power, and the Holy Spirit speaks to them as they watch the film. And just as in other countries, and millions of Muslims have come to Christ watching the Jesus film in other countries, it could be watched here in America, and you could give it to them as a gift. I recommend that as a real entry point, so that Muslims in your community, you could pray for them, and not just Muslims, Hindus and Buddhists and others. You could pray for those people. And you could offer them gifts of the Jesus film and do other things. Most of them have come here from other countries, and they don't celebrate Christmas in their own countries. And they see Christmas happening here in America. And as they see Christmas, they kind of miss out. They don't really get it. But we see a lot of joy and happiness and gift-giving. So we've had partners in ministry give Jesus film gifts to whole Muslim communities, just knocking on doors and blessing them and sharing with them that, you know, we're Christians from local churches and we celebrate Christmas by giving gifts. Here's a gift. And oftentimes they'll say thank you.
Phil, that's a great example of a good tool. And I know that you have a website, christforallpeoples.org. Could you maybe tell us a little about your website and how, even through the website, Jesus films could be ordered, or other resources that you could recommend to us and our listeners who might have or come across Muslim friends or folks in the community who are Muslim or other religions that maybe are here as refugees or just have immigrated to America, resources that we could use to reach these people for Christ?
Yes. And there's a lot of great materials out there, and, you know, lots of websites have them. But specifically with us, we're encouraging people to reach out to refugees and immigrants from any background in any country. If they go to our website, it's fairly instructional. They can read it and see that God's called us to reach these people. He sent them to us. They're here. They really should be somebody that we're loving and praying for and offering the gospel. So if they go online, they can actually go to the link that you can order DVDs, and they'll be shipped to you or your church, wherever you want them to go. And then lots of Sunday school people, classes will take a project on and they'll do neighborhoods, or they might adopt a poor apartment complex in their city. They'll pray over them, and then they'll take them these gifts and knock on the doors, visit them, and share them. And then they can you know, hand out tracts with them, or they can put stickers on the back if people have questions. And then they can go back and follow up with them and see what they thought. We had one Christmas outreach. A couple was out knocking on doors. They came to a Nepali door, and they gave them the Christmas gifts and the Jesus film in Nepali. And they said, we could come back and visit. And they said, okay, come back tomorrow at 1. So that night, they put the Jesus film in, watched it, and when it was done, they watched it again. And they went to bed at midnight. Mm. They got up in the morning, they watched it again at 9, and then they watched it again at 11, and it was over at 1 when they knocked on the door. And they said, the Christian couple said, you know, we're here to visit with you. They said, come in, come in. We've watched this movie 4 times since you left it here. They said, this was all new information to us. We are so excited. We love Jesus. We want to join a church. And they had prayed the prayer to receive Christ at the end of the movie, and multiple times. So they were ready, and they just called to find a church they could connect with.
Wow. Again, that's ChristForAllPeoples.org, if I have that right. Is that correct, Phil? ChristForAllPeoples.org?
Yes, Peoples with an S.
Okay, Peoples with an S. Okay, ChristForAllPeoples.org. And when we come back, we'll be talking with our guest, Phil Cohn, from Christ for All Peoples, and looking at examples from even around the world and from his own personal experience of Muslims being converted.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, now, our special guest, Phil Cohn, has already talked to us about witnessing to Muslims. And one of the interesting things he pointed out was that as Christians, we need to be making sure that we are overtly loving, and as he called it, overtly Christian to them, and that we show them love and care, as opposed to coming at them maybe with suspicion or something like hatred or fear in our hearts. But we should take the power of God and come out with love to them. And Phil, your ministry is entitled Christ for All Peoples. And I would like us to look at places where Muslims have maybe been coming as refugees for a longer time than what we have necessarily seen here in our the modern movement here in America, and look at maybe some of the tools and strategies that you have used and others have used that we could rely on here in America. Now, Phil, you shared with us before the break that people can use the Jesus film. And as we look at maybe language barriers that could be there even here in the United States, they maybe speak English, but it's not their native tongue. Is it possible to get the Jesus movie, then the film, in the different languages that they would speak? And are there other resources like that or other tools that we could be using to create inroads and relationships with Muslim neighbors, friends, or family members?
Yes, this is an excellent question. And just briefly, I wanted to go back and touch a couple of thoughts. One is that God loves us, even when we were his enemies, and he wants us to love our enemies and those who might persecute us or harm us. He wants us to love them. And so I want to just remind our listeners, if you're a Christian, that's a call for all of us. We're supposed to love our enemies and do good to those that might harm us or persecute us. And then I also want to remind people that what Sam was talking about earlier, the jurisdiction, I just want to say for all of us, if you're an American, then, and of course, and you understand our society was built on and founded on Christian principles, then it says that we are a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. So we are the government. And the only time we're not the government is if we shirk our responsibility and we abrogate it or we step aside, we don't fulfill that. And so it's our job to be the government of God, to be the government in love, to do the right things. And if we don't, and we expect other people to pick up this responsibility and do it, it's probably not going to happen. God puts you where you are so that you could be a part of your wall, standing in your part of the gap taking care of your people. And so, you know, back to some other ideas. One is I'd like people to go to Muslim Journey to Hope and see examples of Muslims who've come to Christ. There are many testimonies at this website, Muslim Journey to Hope. And I want to encourage believers to build up your faith, to understand, and see and hear the testimonies of Muslims coming to Christ. When you do that, then you won't be afraid. You'll say, oh, God is at work, and I can be involved. And so that's why I want to encourage believers, step by step, pray, love, take responsibility in your community as a Christian and as an American, and learn. Go to Muslim Journey to Hope. Go to Christ for All Peoples. Get tools. Learn about how you can get involved in evangelism in your community. That's what we all need to do. And so there are places where you can get Arabic Bibles, but most Muslims don't speak Arabic, so it's a little bit harder to utilize that as a tool. But there are PDF tracks online that you can Google and find PDF tracks online designed for Muslims, and there's multiple ones. And then there's Answering Islam is a website that gives lots of wonderful, easy, well, it's not easy, but you got to study it a little bit, but it's wonderful information on learning about Islam and learning how you can understand it and how it differs from Christianity and even how you can witness to Muslims.
Phil,
and
let
so
me go.
Those
let
are
me
some tools.
Okay, let me go here with you, Phil, because I want you to answer something. You travel around the world, and as you say, your focus as Christ for All Peoples is not specifically only for Muslims, but there seems to be, in these days when we are seeing so much of this terrorism and this awful spread of this militant Islam, which is intent, by their own words, to take down the United States and Israel and Western Europe, mm-hmm. within this midst, there appears to be, as you were saying, many Muslims coming to Jesus Christ. I have heard, I think probably our listeners have heard, the examples of Muslims who have said that they have actually, Jesus has actually appeared to them. Seems a little odd for a lot of our understanding in America to understand that, but tell us a little bit. For the Muslims who are coming to Jesus Christ, are they coming primarily because they're having interaction personally with people on Europe, Middle East, and foreign fields, or is Christ appearing to them as we are hearing?
Right, that's a great question, Sam. Actually, the Apostle Paul, before he was the Apostle Paul, he was Saul, a terrorist, and he was going around imprisoning Christians, and he was standing at the feet of Stephen when he was stoned, holding the garments of those who were stoning him. And so Paul was a terrorist, and Jesus appeared to him. And it was really clear. It's written in Scripture, and Paul had other leadings. A Macedonian man appeared to him. And so there, I think the Lord does this. He may not do it in our context as much, and when we have little, we have so much access to Scripture and little persecution in America. But I've listened to experts around the world talk about Islam, and they have said, and this is very common, and I've talked to many Muslims, and they've told me Jesus has appeared to them. And many times they are telling me this, many of them in America. I personally believe if there's 8 to 10 million Muslims in North America, U.S. and Canada, there's probably at least a million have had a dream or vision of Jesus. And I've had several of them tell me this personally. So I know this is happening. And, you know, Islam is probably 1.6 billion people in the world. And so that's much larger than Hinduism or Buddhism or anything else outside of Christianity. You know, at least 2.3 billion people name the name of Christ in the world. Maybe 1.6 billion are in a Muslim country or claim to be Muslims, maybe because that's their background. But most Muslims are probably more of a folk Muslim. They probably have some belief, but they can't be born again. There's no new birth in Islam. So they can be radicalized by, you know, serious hardcore teaching, But for the most part, most Muslims are not that way. They're more folk Muslims. They're more nominal. And we would call Christians that aren't serious about their faith nominal Muslims. And so because of that, I believe that millions, even hundreds of millions, who might be seeing dreams and visions of Jesus, or they might be repulsed by the violence of ISIS and these things that are happening, they're saying they don't like Islam. They're telling people I've heard all over, the testimonies are coming out, they don't like what it's doing, and they're open to change. They're open to someone sharing the gospel with them. So I challenge our listeners to encourage and encourage them to get involved and just get simply involved in prayer and just learning some simple steps that they could love on and care about Muslims and share the gospel with them.
So, Phil, at the beginning of the program, we had talked about that there's a misunderstanding sometimes among American Christians that a Muslim person is hard to reach. And what you're telling us is that there are thousands, even millions, who are searching, some of them turning away from Islam and not sure what to turn to, and others directly being drawn to Jesus Christ, and they're looking for somebody to share the way with them. And what a wonderful and powerful reminder that is to be praying and to be talking, to be witnessing, to be being overtly loving and Christian. Could we go over some of the resources that you've mentioned? You mentioned Muslim Journey to Hope and Answering Islam, as well as your website, ChristForAllPeoples.org. Could you give us those websites, and are they .org or .com, or what do we put on those websites that you've given us so that we can be equipped and have tools for reaching out to Muslims who might already be searching for Jesus?
Yeah, that's a great question. Answering Islam is, I'm typing it in now, I think it's .com, but I'm just typing it in. Oh, didn't come up, so I have to spell it right. AnsweringIslam.com. Okay, my computer's a little slow, but I think it's .com. I mean, they can try .com or .org, and they can also try, okay, Answering Islam came up as a .com. And okay. Muslim Journey to Hope, again, it's just something you just have to try. Just type it in,
yeah.
.com or dot. Yeah, and it's got many, many testimonies, more than 60-plus, that are very expertly, you know, done, so you can watch it and learn from it and see the value of it. And it's encouraging. And, you know, again, we could gloss over, we could hit these highlights and make these notes and state these things, but people need to get it down in their hearts. A lot of people that are probably listening to the show are thinking, you know, Christians and maybe pastors are thinking, Muslims won't come to Christ, but they do, and millions and millions of them are.
Amen. So Muslims are coming to Christ, all peoples. Christ is for all peoples, and we have been commissioned to go to all the world. And so this is exciting to hear that even though there are a growing number of Muslims, but God is great, and we can be able to share our faith with them. Thank you so much, Phil Cohn. We have another section coming up after this, but thank you, Phil, for the information you have given us thus far on this topic.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K-12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
I'm sitting here right now looking at the beautiful, full-color Founders Bible. In addition to the trustworthy New American Standard text, it contains original historical artwork, as well as 64 full-color insert pages, 150 biographies or insightful quotes from the Founders, and 450 pages of embedded commentary highlighting biblical insights. This beautiful leather-bound volume produced by historian David Barton has a gold-embossed APN logo on the front. It can be yours this month as you support APN with a gift of $250 or more. To see it and make your gift, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. If you can't send $250 right now, we'd still like to hear from you. In gratitude for a gift of any amount, we'll send you a wonderful audio CD by Sam Rohr entitled God's Plan for a Blessed Nation. It will bless and challenge you. Let us hear from you today. Remember, all gifts to APN are tax deductible. Thank you, and God bless you.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Thank you again for listening, and we're here with Phil Cohn and looking at the mission field of refugees, as well as specifically people who are born into the Muslim faith, and looking at the idea that being scared to talk to a Muslim or thinking that a Muslim will not come to Christ, that's simply not biblical and it's not true. The Bible tells us to go into all the world, and we see that Muslims, by the millions we've heard in this section, in this last segment, by the millions are turning away from Islam, and many of them are looking for Jesus Christ. And as friends, neighbors, even relatives of these people, we have the opportunity to tell them of Jesus. So, Phil, thank you so much for the help that you've been and what you've been teaching us. Could you maybe talk to us a little bit about what we can expect to see when a Muslim does come to Christ? You talked about nominal Christians and nominal Muslims. And I don't want to stereotype anybody, but generally speaking, when we see people converting from Islam, do they just become nominal Christians, or is there something different about them? And what are maybe some of the expectations that we can see when a Muslim does come and accept Christ as Savior?
Appears that we've lost Phil here, Isaac, until he comes back. That's one of the things we've talked about a lot, you know, of the many that we've had on this program.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I did want to mention that a lot of Muslim background believers, MBBs, they have really spent some time helping me understand where they came from and how their lives went. And it just certainly has a variety of potential circumstances that they're in. Some are in country, some are here in the West. But some become very bold. As a matter of fact, some are so bold that it's amazing that they might do it even in the Middle East. And some have been, you know, just out sharing their faith boldly and seeing others coming to Christ. In America, it's not as difficult or threatening. There may be consequences that they'll suffer. So if they turn from Islam, they might lose some family relations. They might lose some job opportunities. So Christians need to be aware of that and seek to help them. But in America, again, it's not like it is back in their home countries where it could be more difficult. And certainly the Middle East is even more difficult than other Muslim countries. But in America, I've had former Muslims that are leading ministries reaching out to other Muslims. And they're bold about it and really no reason to be concerned or fearful. And they're effective at it. They're sharing their faith, and they're using the tools that we're talking about, using tools of evangelism, using the Jesus film and tracts and Bibles in their own languages. And those are really some of the most effective tools. And really, God uses loving Christians in a great way to lead Muslims to Christ. It's often cited as one of the main reasons that Muslims come to Christ, how kind and loving Christians were.
Well, Phil, I think that earlier in the program, when we asked the question, what's the best way, the easiest, the most simple way of sharing our faith as a true believer in Jesus Christ with any neighbor, whether they be a Muslim or not, you came back and you said two things. You said, if I wrote it down correctly, and it's just correct, you said, be genuinely Christian. Love, be kind, and I put down, treat the immigrant, whoever's next door, just like we would want to be treated. That's the simplicity of the gospel, is it not, Phil? And while we have so many things going on that have a grave concern, and we do have to our government does have to push back against this ideology that has sworn to take down the United States and destroy Israel, and whereas we and the government does have to take and punish swiftly those who kill people and destroy property and try to prevent that, in this mix is where the loving aspect of Christianity, a true Christians, can really shine through in a wonderful way. I think that emphasis is just as practical a thing as you can put forth here today. And I just want to remind listeners of that, and maybe you want to add a comment or two to that as we kind of get close to wrapping up this program, practical walkaways from this issue.
Yeah, could you imagine if millions of Christians began to focus on the millions of Muslims and Hindus and Buddhists and others that are here and just prayed for them and loved them and showed genuine interest and concern for them? Now, I'm going to mention a thought. I was talking to someone who was working in a missions organization that was focused overseas, but I asked them, are you sharing Christ with immigrants and internationals in your community? And she said, no, my family's American, my friends are American, my church is American, I don't see any immigrants. And I said, well, let me ask you, have you ever been to a Chinese or a Mexican restaurant or a Vietnamese nail salon or an airport or a convenience store? And she said, oh, they're everywhere. There's tens of millions of immigrants here. And we just, you know, you go to a Chinese restaurant and you hope they speak enough English to take your order. Have you ever wondered, are they from China? Have they ever heard the gospel? Have you ever been to a Mexican restaurant or a Vietnamese nail salon? Have you ever wondered, are they from another part of the world where they've heard the gospel or not heard the gospel? And you are right there in front of them, and you have an opportunity to love them and pray for them. And, you know, years ago, I got an atlas out, and I just laid my finger on all these countries around the world, especially troubled countries. And I just prayed for those countries, and I prayed for those people. And then the Lord started bringing those people to us from those countries. I began to meet them. And it surprised me so much. I would say, you're from what country? I'd say, oh, my goodness, I love your country. I've been praying for your country. And then I'd say, how'd you get here? You know, or when did you come? Or how long have you been here? Where's your family? But the idea that I said to them, I love their country, and I prayed for them and for their country, it just opens the door. The reality is, these are people who need Jesus, and God sent them right in front of me and right in front of you. And we have an opportunity to pray for them and care about them and share Christ with them. And if you want to know more, we have another website I'd like to offer for training. It's called lovingallneighbors.org. Lovingallneighbors.org. If your church wants to get involved in reaching their community and all the different kinds of immigrants in their community, go to lovingallneighbors.org.
All right. So we have Chris Cohn from Christ for All Peoples, and your website is christforallpeoples.org, and another great website to equip churches and pastors, especially here on the American Pastors Network. Many of you maybe are pastors, or you will be talking to your pastors about this information, and you can give them the site lovingallneighbors.org, lovingallneighbors.org, to better equip ourselves as individuals, as families, and even as churches for reaching out to our Muslim friends and neighbors. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, and I hope that you will tune in to again tomorrow or listen on your app. Tomorrow we'll be having another edition of Stand in the Gap Radio with our good friend George Barna. Until then, please pray for our country and do your part to be light in this dark world and to show love, genuine love, overt Christian love to those around you, no matter what their background, and to be able to stand in the gap today.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler, brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.